Now to a 75-year-old civil rights murder case. A rural community in West Tennessee is pushing the Justice Department to re-examine the death of Elbert Williams. Williams is believed to be the first NAACP official killed for seeking to register black voters. The mystery surrounding his 1940 murder is not widely known. NPR's Debbie Elliott went to Tennessee to learn more.
Clues about Elbert Williams' murder are thought to be buried with him here in the Taylor Cemetery just outside Brownsville, Tennessee. Local attorney Jim Emerson walks to a corner of the cemetery set off by two towering oaks.
This is the area where we believe he lies.
The African-American cemetery dates to the late 1800s. Some graves have traditional headstones, others simple concrete slabs. Many are unmarked. In the summer of 1940, Emerson says, Elbert Williams' grave was marked with a churn, now gone, in a rushed burial.
There was no funeral, there was no graveside family service. They just dug a hole and put him in the ground on the coroner's orders, and Elbert and all the evidence that his body contained was buried in that unmarked grave.
There was no post-mortem and no arrest. Emerson is writing a book about Elbert Williams called First to Die. He's white and grew up in Brownsville in a long line of judges and lawyers, yet he'd never heard the story of Elbert Williams until a few years ago, and now wants everyone to know.
Elbert Williams is a civil rights hero of the caliber of Medgar Evers.
Evers, the NAACP field secretary in Mississippi, was assassinated in 1963. But more than 20 years earlier, Williams was part of a group of black professionals and business owners who formed a chapter of the NAACP in Haywood County, Tennessee. Their goal was to register black voters. Emerson says they were pioneers in trying to break a system rooted in plantation life.
The atmosphere in Haywood County in 1940 was one of total white supremacy, total African American political powerlessness, and economic depravity. The white folks had them right where they wanted them and intended to keep them there.
The new NAACP officers and their families were targeted with violence. Their homes were burned, and the president and secretary fled to save their lives. So Elbert Williams, a 31-year-old laundromat attendant, said he would host a chapter meeting in his home. Before he could, he was taken from his home by police, never to return.
His wife, Annie, was frantic. She was searching for him for over 48 hours. And on Sunday morning, the undertaker sent word, come to the river, they found a body. And it was Elbert, her husband.
The muddy brown waters of the Hatchie River flow beneath a busy bridge a few minutes' drive from Brownsville.
This is the Hatchie River, and it was just about 200 yards downstream from here is where Elbert Williams' remains were taken out of the river on the other side.
John Ashworth picks up the story at the river. He's the chairman of the Elbert Williams Memorial Committee.
He's weighted down. There's a log tied to him.
His wife asked to see the body.
And that when she looked at him, she identified, yes, that's him. And she identified what appeared to be two bullet holes in his chest.
A coroner's inquest was held on the spot. Williams' death certificate says cause of death unknown. But Ashworth says the way he died was intended as a warning to other black residents who might want to organize and vote.
You know, just the horror of being thrown in the river out here, this remote location, and then having the remains disfigured like that, all of that sends a message that if you get out of place, this is what happens.
It worked. The Haywood County, Tennessee NAACP chapter would not be active for another 20 years. Today, Felicia Walker is president of the local NAACP branch. She's got questions 75 years after Elbert Williams died.
I know he was in the river, but what really happened?
Walker has joined the Elbert Williams Memorial Committee and city and state officials to install a new historical marker in Brownsville in memory of Williams. That helps preserve his story, they say, but they are also calling for the federal government to investigate.
It needs to be known what happened to this man. Was he dead before he hit the river? It were those two holes in his chest, was it bullet holes?
The FBI did investigate in the 1940s, but did little more than interview witnesses, allegedly accompanied by local law enforcement who were suspect. The NAACP sent Thurgood Marshall to Brownsville on a fact-finding mission to push for a federal prosecution, but to no avail. Attorney Jim Emerson says now the Department of Justice can set the historical record straight.
We need to show that there is a commitment to justice no matter how long it takes. We ought not to abandon it now because we abandoned the search for it in 1942.
In Memphis, U.S. Attorney Edward Stanton III says his office is considering whether there's enough information to warrant reopening the case.
Certainly, we're acknowledging that this is something that's important to this community and quite frankly, a fabric and part of this nation's history in the civil rights movement.
Civil rights-era murders from the 60s have been successfully prosecuted in recent decades, but not a case this old. Stanton says the passage of time is an issue.
It is extremely challenging when 75 years have passed. As you can imagine, most, if not all, of the individuals that could have been involved, including witnesses, potential defendants, and suspects, are now deceased.
One of those potential witnesses would be Leslie McGraw's 84-year-old grandmother, who was a child at the time. Elbert Williams was her uncle. Leslie McGraw says her grandmother used to tell her stories about seeing Williams' body pulled from the river, and talk of reopening the case is hard.
It brings memories of that time in the South that was just really traumatic for her. You know, she talked about how, you know, the terror campaign that very regular to her, that there were lynchings.
McGraw says after Williams was murdered, the family splintered. Her side left homes and businesses behind in Tennessee and moved to Michigan, struggling to start over. She says most of them never spoke of the murder again.
Our family was robbed of a hero.
That's why, despite the pain it is causing her grandmother, she'd like a full investigation today.
The way that they killed him, they also killed his legacy.
Now she says there's an opportunity to restore the legacy of Elbert Williams. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, Brownsville, Tennessee.